Hey, this is Sarah Motley, and I'm interviewing Larry McMillan. Larry is currently housed at Patuxent in Jessup, Maryland. And Larry, if you could just introduce yourself, please.
Hello, world out there. I go by the name of Saidi, but this my name is Larry McMillan. I'm interested in, doing this interview.
Okay, I need you to speak up a little bit for me. Could you please let us know what you are currently charged with, and what your sentence was, please?
I was charged with second degree murder, and I'm currently serving a
25-year sentence. And how much time do you have in on that 25-year sentence?
Right now, that's I have 12 years and a few months.
Okay. And could you tell us a little bit about your crime, Saidi?
You said speak a little bit about myself?
No, about your crime. Could you tell us a little bit about your crime? What happened?
Okay. Well, during the time of my crime, I was going through some things. I was in between homes at the time, and I was in the process of leaving the home that I had. I just moved out the house with my grandmother. I was staying with my grandmother for a long period of time, and so I was going through these things emotionally, striving to figure out what my next move was. But anyway, in the process of that, I was hanging around the wrong people. Let me just put it like that. I was hanging around the wrong people. I was gangbanging at the time, and this particular sister of mine, who I used to call sister anyway, she called the house. She had got into a situation. Her little brother had a fight, and she happened to jump in the middle of the fight, try to break the fight up between her little brother and the guy, and the older brother of the guy happened to be there.
You speak up a little bit.
My intentions was simply to make sure that nothing else transpired. He had put his hands on her, she was scared. She was obviously scared. So we went to the guy house. Initially, me and the guy had a conversation. I was telling the guy, I said, man, you did what you did, blase, blase, all of that fine and dandy, but we want to make sure that, she's able to walk the street without having to lie about you doing something to her, At this point, the guy's name Mr. Ruffin. At this point, Mr. Ruffin, he just, when it stuck, he was upset at the fact that I was at his house, and he wasn't really trying to get anything, it kind of pissed me off, actually. And so we were just going back and forth for a second. And at that point, he just started making threats, what he would do and things of that nature. So I told him, all of that, man, that's not cool. I said, man, I got a gun on me now. I told him that I had a gun on. I showed him that I had a gun on. At that point, Mr. Ruffin reached in his fist and attempted, pull out a gun. In the process of that, I seen him, so I shot him. I didn't even think twice. I shot him. I only shot the gun. I shot the gun about three times.
He was hit where? He was hit where?
He was hit one time in his head. He was hit one time in his head.
And this was in his home?
Yeah, actually, this was outside his home, yep.
Okay, who else was...
His brother was there.
Oh, wow.
His brother was there, his mother was there. I think that his girlfriend or baby mother, something like that.
Oh, wow.
At the home at the time, yeah.
So did you know him prior to going over there?
No, I didn't know this guy at all. I didn't know this guy at all. You know, I found out later after the fact, a little bit of information about him. But initially, I didn't know him.
Okay, so were you arrested right away? I mean, obviously you got out of there. Were you arrested the same day?
No, actually, I was arrested a few months later.
So you went on the run?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, were you arrested or you turned yourself in?
Yeah, I was arrested.
Okay. So take me to the courtroom the day that you were sentenced and stuff. Did you take a plea or what happened with that?
Yeah, so I was the offer laid on the table. The first offer was something that made crazy. Basically, they were trying to give me 6 years. I didn't take that offer. The offer was presented to me maybe about 2 to 3 weeks later. And the offer was for 50 extended 25 years, which is the sentence that I have now. And that's the sentence that I actually accepted.
How old were you at the time?
At the time, I was 21 years old.
So tell me, 21 years old, and you hear 25 years. You know what was that like mentally? I mean, emotionally, what was that like hearing that?
Strange to say, for me, it was kind of, I looked at it as, I made my bed, I got to lay in it type of situation. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like I was saying, I was going through a lot during that time. I was living a real rough lifestyle, so I had been through so many situations, and I was tired. Honestly, I was tired, and I wanted to change, but I didn't know how to change. I didn't know how to ask for help, so it seemed like things just kept going getting worse and worse and worse for me. This situation I'm actually in now was the worst thing that I've ever done in my life, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I looked at what was in front of me, 1 year ago, 25 years, and I said that, this is my opportunity for me to change, so my principle is not a lot of other guys' principle stories where, later on in their incarceration, you begin to get yourself together. For me, it was at the very beginning. My institutional record, shows that I started out very early, reading and exercising and, distancing myself from the wrong people. I got out of the gang while I was in prison.
Who were you affiliated with? What were you?
Affiliated, with the Blood.
You were Blood. Okay. So let me ask you, at your hearing, at the trial, was his family present?
I can't hear you.
Was his family present? I said, was the victim's family present?
Oh, man, this is freaking tough. You're breaking up real bad. I can barely hear you.
Oh, hold on. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're breaking up. You're going in and up.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Hold on 1 second. Let me see if I can move this cord around. Can you hear me now?
I don't think it's you. Yeah, I can hear you, but it's gobbling up a little bit.
I said, was
the phone and stuff like that. So
Yeah, I can hear you really well. I said, was the victim's family, were they present at the trial?
Oh, yes. They was present at the day of sentencing.
And did you get an opportunity to address them, or did they address you?
Absolutely. I had an opportunity, both, actually. Mr. Ruffin's mom read a victim, you know, statement. And, you know, from that day, I understood the nature of the impact of what I've done. You know, I was ashamed of what I've done, actually. You know, and I was upfront about what I've done. I took responsibility, you know, from the very beginning for what I've done. But I did speak, you know, I simply told her and, you know, the rest of the family that I'm sorry, you know, for what I've done. And I hope that, you know, my sentence will bring some type of peace.
Oh, wow.
You know, to the situation. From that point, it was just the conversation between me and the judge. You know, and I was telling the judge that, you know, I need help and that, you know, I want change. You know what I mean? The judge said, he said, you know, she hoped that I get the change that I was looking for. And, you know, the date, I can say that I did.
That is awesome. Because, you know, you rarely hear, you know, that, you know, people kind of, you know, tend to make, and actually early on when we were talking about it and you were saying, you know, telling me about your upbringing and stuff like that, you know, because people kind of have a tendency to try to make themselves the victim. So I appreciate, you know, being, you know, a mother of someone that's been murdered. I didn't get that. You understand what I'm saying? He sat there. He had his, you know, arms folded across his chest. He's laid back in the chair. His family looked really inconvenienced. I wouldn't let any of my family come, you know, because they didn't feel the same way that I felt. And I know how they like to blame the victim. You understand what I'm saying? So I didn't want anybody to bear that pain that I knew that I was. You understand what I'm saying? So I probably forgave somebody that didn't need to be forgiven, but it was more for me. You understand what I'm saying, than it was for him. So just coming from that aspect, I thank you, you know, for giving that to that mother. You understand what I'm saying? So was she receptive to it, though?
In the beginning, it's a wild story because she actually worked at city jail. You know, so I had the opportunity to see this lady a few different times. I didn't know who she was at the time, you know, and she didn't really know who I was at the time. You know what I'm saying? So it was wow. But when she found out how I was, you know, of course she was very upset. You know what I mean? She was very upset, and she showed her disdain. You know what I'm saying? So by the time of sentencing, you know, I just let her know, you know, how I felt and that I understood. You know, I really did. I still do. One of the greatest things that happened for me, even though, you know, I had just went up for a modification of sentence and it was denied, in the process of going back and forth to court, though, hearing that lady say that she forgave me, you know, Mr. Ruffin's mom saying that she forgave me, you know, I think that was the best thing that I could receive from out of that whole experience.
Wow.
Despite being denied, you know, that was, I mean, it just lifted so much weight from off of my shoulders, you know, and it felt good for her to see that change in me, you know what I mean?
Wow.
It was just, yeah, man, it was awesome.
So what has been the most, if there has been a challenge, what has been the most challenging thing about your sentence? If there's been a challenge at all.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely been a challenge. I mean, initially, like I said, you know, I understood that I did this wrong and I got to pay for the wrong that I've done. So it kind of was me really finding myself in the sense of making the corrections that I needed to make in my life. Learning what it really means to be a man, you know, and being able to stand firm on that. And an environment where these things are not welcome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Honestly, like, a lot of people on the outside don't know that, you know, when you are striving to do the right thing in the prison amongst people that, you know, that's not necessarily their agenda. You meet a lot of different obstacles and challenges. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was those types of challenges. For people accepting my change. You know what I'm saying? Homeboys and people that I grew up with and people that know me for, you know, the reputation that I had from the streets, but watching me change into something different that they couldn't really understand. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And them thinking that I'm turning my back on them or things of that nature. And even me having struggles with that myself, knowing that I need to change, but, you know, not really knowing at that time what change looked like. So that was hard for me. You know what I mean? My grandmother passed, and that was extremely hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sorry.
But I settled with the fact that before she passed, you know, that, like, she was my everything. You know what I mean? My grandmother, me and my grandmother went through so many different situations, man. And, you know, she showed me what unconditional love is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And she knew that it was so much that I had to offer, you know, the world. You know what I mean? She always used to tell me that she seen my potential before I really seen it in myself. So, you know, when I really started on the path of changing, and she knew it was sincere. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She knew it was sincere, man. And, you know, she just encouraged me to continue to do everything that I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Be the man that, you know, she raised me to be.
So, did you leave any children behind? Do you have children?
No, I don't have any children. Thank goodness.
Okay.
Thank God, because I love children. I love children. So, you know, I don't have any children. I'm grateful for that.
So what, if any, concerns do you have? What do you see any challenges or anything? I know your release is near. I speak that into existence. So do you foresee any challenges or anything coming out here? Like what can we you know, what do you think that you'll need you know, from your support system once you touch down?
One of my greatest problems was I was an introvert. So I really stayed to myself. And when I dealt with different issues, I didn't express it. You know what I mean? So for me, the greatest thing is to be able to have a sounding board, you know, people that I can talk to, you know, if I'm going through something. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, because I was kind of raised a little like the only child, you know, because it was just me and my grandmother. I do have an older brother and an older sister, but, you know, I was the youngest of the two, and, you know, like I said, I stayed with my grandma, but I learned so much, you know, from her on how to be, you know, kind of independent, and I had to do a lot, you know what I'm saying, because it was just me and her, so that kind of stuff. You know, learning how to reach out, learning how to be open was part of my challenges as well. You know, I had to write a lot of my relationship with my family members because, you know, to them, this situation was unexpected. You know, they knew a little bit about certain things that I was doing out there in the streets, but, you know, nothing like this. You know, if you talk to anybody that really knows me, they would tell you, like, they never expected this from me, you know. But I think that'd be some of my greatest challenges. I do very well with meeting new people, you know what I'm saying? I'm a very good discernment when it comes to choosing, you know, the people in my life. So I don't fear that. I've been shared a lot of my old ways and habits, so my desires are not the same as they used to be. I'm 33 years old now, so,
aww.
You know what I'm saying? And I have matured greatly from the time that I was 21, but I recognize that my mindset from, you know, my past experiences and how I grew up, shaped and molded, you know, my attitude, the way that it was, and I realized that I had, you know, that had that paradigm shift, if you will. And so I'm just about positivity, man. You know, I'm just about doing what I can do to help other people. And that's my quest.
Well, that is awesome. I am going to, we have a couple of minutes left, so I'm going to end this this interview. I appreciate you giving me this opportunity. God knows I've been trying to get this. I was thinking you had warrants or something, because I've been trying to get it for a while. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know.
I'm kidding, but
That's on me. It's not on you.
I appreciate you taking the time out, and using the platform to allow people to see. Like I said, I'd like for them to see past the charges. They look at, oh my God, second degree murder. He's an animal. He's this, he's that. For me, I appreciate your accountability. I'm glad, you know, I know from, you know, me knowing you, I know that you are a stand-up person. I definitely think that you are a needed addition, out here. I have no doubt in my mind, that you, you know, are one of those that will come out here. You understand what I'm saying, and hit the ground running and stuff. And if I can ever, be of any assistance, you know, you understand what I'm saying, that I am definitely planted in your corner. So that, you know,
I just want to return the favor. You know, I appreciate you, man. I speak on the behalf of, you know, not only myself, but, you know, other guys in here. You know, the work that you do, man, it's just brilliant. You know, and I wish that it was more people out there that, you know, think like you and was willing to get behind you and support you. Because a lot of us in here, man, we need that voice. You know, and I think that it's important that those out in society know and understand that, you know, all of us in here are not lost, you know, and a lot of us do have a lot to offer, you know,
absolutely,
the world out there. So I think that if we can find a way to bridge the gap between the two, you know, us in here, and that's really, you know, about change and have been in the process of doing that, you know, doing that while in prison. As you know myself, I help to create programs and I facilitate programs, you know, and for guys like me, you know, we need that support, you know, we need that support. So it's just, if we can find a way, like I said, to bridge that gap, man, we will have a lot of strong brothers coming home. And
you have 60 seconds remaining.
Well, that is exactly what this is for. Yeah, no, that's exactly why I created this platform. You understand what I'm saying? Is so, you know, you guys would have that, you know, that middle ground and stuff. So, you know, I definitely have to respect those, you understand, who have been victimized. But I also, you know, want to, you know, just have this platform, you know, for those that I know that have gotten there and changed, you know, turn their lives around. So again, thank you. God bless you. And I'll talk to you next time. Okay.
Absolutely. God bless you too.
All right, honey. Bye-bye. And that wraps up my interview with Larry McMillan, AKA Saidi. Thanks guys for tuning in.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.